This week, Parashat Vayigash begins with this great speech of Yehuda, this speech that gets Yosef to cry and to break in front of them. And we wanted to dive in and look at Yehuda's speech and really try to understand what's so special about this speech. Supposedly, if you look at the words, Yehuda keeps on saying, you said this, then I said this. You said this, and I said this. There's nothing new in this speech. What caused Yosef to break? What is so dramatic about what Yehuda is saying?
Yeah, but when we took a deeper look, we noticed a few words which took us back to the beginning of the whole story. And we saw how everything comes to full circle here and why this really is the peak of the entire story.
Exactly. It's not only about Yehuda showing that he guarantees one of their brothers, and then Yosef sees that there is achdus between them and they have this bonding between them. No, it's way more than that. There's something so much deeper than that going on over here in the psukim. And of course, since it is the Sarah B'Tevet on Friday, the parsha, everything connects together. What is the Sarah B'Tevet and our situation today, what we're going through today in our world, in our life today, what does it have to do with this week's parsha? Hope you enjoy it. Take a look. So yeah, it's this week, Parashat Vayigash. We know Parashat Vayigash begins with this great drama, this climax, where Yosef approaches the brothers at the end of last week, and Parashat Miketz tells them that Binyamin has to stay behind as a slave since he stole the gavia, since he stole the cup, his special cup. And then Yehuda says, no way, we're all going to stay, we're all going to be slaves. And then Yosef says, no, I just want Binyamin. And this week begins with Yehuda approaching Yosef and telling him all this story of what has been going on in their lives until now, and why there's no reason for Binyamin to be left as a slave, and he should probably take Yehuda instead of Binyamin, because if he takes Binyamin, Yehuda's father, their father, is gonna die, and Yehuda can't do this to his father. Yehuda can't go back to his father without Binyamin. And this breaks Yosef. He couldn't hold it in anymore, and then tells everybody to leave his room, and then he bursts out crying, and he tells his brothers, I am Yosef. And when you see how the Torah tells us what's going on over here, when you see this whole speech that Yehuda gives to Yosef, that the Torah tells us, you have to ask, what's in this speech by Yehuda that gets Yosef to break? Because when you look at the speech, the question intensifies. When you look inside the psukim and you see what Yehuda is actually saying, it sounds like he's just repeating of what has happened until now. I said this, then you said that. Then I said this, then you said that. There's no new important information here. There's nothing special that Yehuda tells Yosef, but for some reason Yehuda believes that this is going to change Yosef's mind. And on the other side, this does make Yosef break and he can't hold it in anymore. So what is it in the words that the Torah uses to tell us Yehuda's speech to Yosef that made this big impact on Yosef? What is Yehuda saying? What is his speech all about?
Yeah, I agree. If what he wanted to say was that he guaranteed to be responsible for him, he could just say, I guaranteed to be responsible for it. The Torah has so many psukim describing this speech. Obviously, there's something more than that. And when we actually look in the psukim and start comparing, we'll notice that it's not exactly the same thing. There's a lot of things that show up as if they were discussed before, but when we look, we realize they weren't discussed. They were never discussed, actually. And one of these points I think stands out the most is the relationship between Yaakov, their father, and Binyamin. It starts right away at the beginning. He says, we told you that we have a father and a little brother, and his brother died. By the way, they didn't exactly say that. They said their brother was gone, but his brother died, and he is left alone from his mother and his father loved. We didn't see any of that before, that his father loved him. And we see this goes on later again and again, this relationship between Binyamin and Yaakov. And when you hear this word of love, you can't not think about last time we saw this, right at the beginning of the entire story. Actually, the whole story begins around that one word, Ahav. Ve'Yisrael Ahav et Yosef b'kol echav, ki ben zekunim hu lo. Remember the same thing we also have here about the ben zekunim. Ahav ben zekunim. But then the next pasuk is, Vayiru echav ki oto ahav avihem. It repeats, this is just to say, and they hated it. It says, they saw what? They saw that he loved it. They saw that special love, and that's what started this all. And when we realize that everything started because of this, maybe that's why this is so critical to changing where the story is going. Until now, they speak about a brother that's gone, that's missing, about a little brother that's left at home. Suddenly, they say it all. Yes, we have a brother, and yes, we recognize that he is loved more than the others. He's a Ben Zekunim. His father loves him more than he loves us. He loves him differently desperately that he loves us. And still, how does Yehuda end? Not with Vaisne'u oto v'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. He sees it. He recognizes it. Exactly what triggered everything. But what does he do because of this special love? He says, take me instead. He loves, he has this special connection with his father, and therefore, Anochi Arvenu, I'm standing here instead of him. He has to go home. And that is the moment that Yosef lo yachol l'itapek. He sees the tikkun, he sees the tshuva, he sees them not only able to protect their brother, stand for him, even though he's a son of Rachel. More than that, they're able to recognize that their father loves him, that has a special love towards him, and still accept that and have that arvut. And I think this is key to everything, because, you know, today people like to talk about everything being equal. Everyone has to be the same. We're all the same. We're all equal. If someone is different, then that's a problem. We have to make sure everyone's equal. Otherwise, it's not fair. Why is there? Why? Kids always like to fight. It's not fair. It's not fair. And Yosef knows that it's not going to be fair. He's almost king in Mitzrayim. If they come and join here, it's not going to be fair. They're not going to be equal. And until they're ready to accept that, to accept that they're all special in their own way and they all have something unique, and that's okay, they can still stand there for their brothers. They understand, yes, maybe it's more critical for Binyamin to go home, even though Yehuda is also a son of Yaakov, but he's ready to stand for him and recognize that and still come together as one. Then they've gone full circle. Then they've really done tshuva and they're ready to come together again as a family in Mitzrayim, with Yosef being, yes, different than the others, somewhat above the others, as we've discussed in the past, where he's sort of one of the Avot and one of the Shvatim at the same time. This, I think, is what happens here in Yehuda's speech.
Very good, very good. Like we keep on saying, there's so many details in the Torah, and you have to pay attention to the details that the Torah emphasizes, especially the language the Torah uses. And here, specifically in the story, although it sounds like Yehuda is just repeating something that we already know, a lot of it is actually new. A lot of information here is new, especially to Yosef himself. Because like you were saying, first of all, this concept of love, we didn't see this word used before by the brothers in regards to Yosef and his father, in regards to Binyamin and his father. We only saw this word, just like you're saying, in the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, where we found Yaakov loving Yosef more than others. And suddenly here, Yosef hears that yes, from the brothers, from Yehuda, that yes, their father does love someone else, only one of us, and we're okay with that. We're fine with that. And this is definitely new information for Yosef. But maybe it's not only about the fact that Yosef learns that his father loves Binyamin and Yehuda is okay with it, or even more so that Yehuda is guaranteeing Binyamin. We discussed this in the past, that Yosef wanted to see this arvus. He wanted to see this bonding between the brothers. He wanted to see that they did tshuva on selling him, that they did tshuva on the machloket, that now they want to be together, that now they have this achdus and bonding and arvut together. Maybe it's even more than that here in this speech. Again, because you have to pay attention to the details, because it's fascinating when you look at the psukim themselves inside. Because first of all, like you pointed out, we find here Yaakov having a son that he loves, just like he loved Yosef. But more than that, just like you were saying, his life, his soul, his spirit, his neshama depends on the son, on this little brother, on Binyamin. They are together. They are twin mates. They are soulmates. This father and son. This is Ben Skunim. This is his favorite son after the other one disappeared. And again, Yosef hears that. And when Yosef starts to hear these things, and you look at the psukim, maybe he's actually starting to hear not about Binyamin, but about himself. Because there's a very big question you have to ask here is, where's Binyamin in all this story? You know, we're talking about Binyamin. Binyamin is the one who took the gavias, who took the cup. We know that Yosef wants to take him into prison, keep him as a slave. But Binyamin is not mentioned at all. Binyamin is like disappearing from this story. This whole story is between Yehuda and Yosef, and Binyamin just doesn't exist. You don't see his name anywhere. You don't see him doing anything. You don't see him saying anything. He's really not part of the story. And maybe that is because he's not part of the story. Maybe the Torah is trying to tell us, trying to show us that Yosef, when Yehuda is talking, here is the story about himself. He hears Yehuda describing this love between Yaakov and the brothers. And maybe the Torah is trying to tell us that when Yosef hears the story, and when Yehuda himself is telling the story, they're both seeing Yosef in the story. First of all, like you said, about this love, this special bond, bond between Yaakov and this brother and this son, the special bond of Benafsho Kshura, Benafsho, of Ahava, of love, just like Yosef had the love, Yisrael Ahav et Yosef Mikol Banav, and this special bond of Nafsho Kshura, Benafsho, that he gave him the Ketonet Pasim, he gave him this special garment. But maybe it's even more than that. The fact that Yosef wasn't with his brothers, Yosef was left at home. When his brothers went to Shechem, went to be shepherds in Shechem and took the cattle over there, Yosef was left behind, just like the brothers. When they came down to Mitzrayim, they left Binyamin behind. But then it was because Yosef stayed with his father, to be with his father, because his father loved him and he wanted him around. The same thing here, Yosef is hearing that this young son, this special boy, is left behind, not because the brothers hated him or avoided him, but because Yaakov wanted him around him, because this special bond they have between them. And besides the relationship between Yosef and Yaakov, we also find, for the first time, Yudah saying very clearly that Rachel, Yosef's mother, was the wife of Yaakov. We know there was always this tension, the tension between Rachel and Leah, the story with the plants, with the Dudaim, the story with Reuven and Bilhah. There was always this tension. Who is Yaakov's wife? Who is the mother? Who is the number one over there? And here Yehudah, the son of Leah, says very clearly that Rachel is the one that was Yaakov's wife. This is my father's wife, just like Yaakov ahavet Rachel, this love that we find here between Yaakov and Binyamin, or again, between Yaakov and Yosef. This is what they're hearing. And then besides that, Yehudah says to Yosef that if I go back without Binyamin, I will bring a ra'ah. I will bring a bad thing to my father. Just like Yosef came back to his father. He brought this bad thing to the fathers. And Yosef hears Yehudah speak. He hears this speech. And maybe he doesn't hear it about Binyamin, but he hears about himself. And then we get to the ending of the speech. What breaks Yosef? Because this is when Yehudah changes from talking about his little brother, about this little boy, about the son, to this na'al. This na'al. And if we remember from the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, where Yosef na'al et bnei Bilha et bnei Zilpa neshei aviv. Yosef was the na'al around them, around all these wives. It's not about the nashim anymore. Yehudah steps up and clearly says that Rachel is the wife. And then Yosef hears this na'al that is maybe him. Yehudah guarantees this na'al. What he didn't do in the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev, when the snar was sent to them, when Yosef was sent to them and they got rid of him and they sold him off. Here Yehudah steps up, says to Yosef very dramatically, V'anochi arav et hanar. Yosef hears this. He thinks about himself being the snar. Here's Yehudah saying, I am guaranteeing the snar. And then this snar, Yehudah says, I have to bring him back, because if I don't bring him back, V'anar enenu iti, how can I go back to my father and not have this snar and not bring back Yosef to my father? Yosef hears all this. Here's the story of Yehudah in this way. This is maybe what triggers Yosef to break down and not being able to hold it anymore. Because this story maybe is not about Binyamin, but maybe this story is about Yosef. Yes, Yosef wanted to hear that the brothers care for each other and are vouching for each other and guaranteeing each other, and they have this achdus and they have this arvut. But he also maybe wanted to hear, and what he's hearing, that they have done tshuva and they are taking back everything they've done to him, to Yosef himself. And maybe this is why the Torah doesn't even mention Binyamin by name, because this is what Yosef needed to hear. This is what Yehudah wanted him to hear. And this is what's going on over here behind the text of being this na'al that Yehudah guaranteed is the same na'al from the beginning of Parashat Vayeshev. Is Yosef, he is the na'al that Yehudah guaranteed to bring back to his father. And this is what Yosef needed to hear.
Beautiful. Very interesting. Really, Yosef, the Shamitanu na'al Ivri, who's always called the na'al. But I think that it's not just Yosef who hears this. Yehudah himself, if we look, what is the first time that the term Nar shows up about Binyamin, who till this point was Achichem HaKaton? When does he become Nar? Last parsha, when Yehudah comes up to his father, not only is he called Nar, he turns to his father, and the Pasuk says he turns to Yisrael. And we know Yisrael is the one that Ahavet Yosef. He turns to Yisrael and says, Vayomer Yehudah el Yisrael aviv, and then he says, I will guarantee for him. Meaning, Yehudah himself notices when he's speaking to his father, this isn't really just the story of Binyamin. This is the story of the Nar. The Nar back then, that we weren't there for him, that we weren't Arev for him. He turns to his father and says, I'll take the Nar iti. I'm committed to him. Not just to Binyamin now. I'm committed to the original Nar. I know that's what's there. He turns to, not to Yaakov, Israel, the same one who loved Yosef, who loved that Nar, and he commits to that Nar. And that's what comes together here at this climax of the meeting between Yehudah. Yehuda and Yosef.
Very good, very good. You know, and again, we like to talk about the Hebrew language. We can't ignore it, that the word nar in Hebrew also means to shake something, to wave something off, lehit na'er, to take something off of you, to get rid of something from you. And maybe this is what we find here, Yehuda, stepping up and saying this nar that we tried to get rid of, we tried to lehit na'er from him. Now I'm guaranteeing this nar, even the ones that we tried to get rid of because we didn't like them, because they didn't fit who we were, even those, we are still together, we are still bonded together, we are still one family. And you know, thinking about Asara B'Tevet, that's today on Friday, and thinking about the situation that's going on around our nation for the past few months here in Israel and around the world, it's hard not to see again what's going on over here and see all the connections between the Parsha, between what's going on with Asara B'Tevet being the day that we fast on the siege on Yerushalayim in the days of the first Beit HaMikdash, when the siege began, when the Matzor began. And unfortunately, sometimes when we are fighting within us, when we have so much tension between our nation, between groups in our nation, fighting with each other, each one trying to push the other group out of their nation and saying, you're not part of us, trying to lehit na'el, trying to get rid of a different group. Sometimes, unfortunately, we need this terrible evil enemy to come from the outside and push us all together and put the circle around us to remind us that even if we're different and even if we're different groups, we're still one nation and we're still in this, literally in this together. That's what a siege is. That's what the enemy does. And through this matzol on Asara B'Tevet and through what's going on in this week's parsha, it's hard not to see again what's been going on for the past few months here in Eretz Yisrael after this terrible year that we had, the terrible year of machlokas and fighting that was going on between the different groups and the different people in our nation. We were forced by this terrible, unthinkable evil that came to us and forced us to recognize that we are still together. We are still one family. And Baruch Hashem, when things like this happen, it does come out that we are still one family. And it's amazing to see what's been going on, because maybe it's not about reminding us that we're one nation. Maybe we knew it all along. We just had to show it that we are one nation. And this is what Yosef, Yehuda, what's going on over here with Yosef, wanting to see this, wanting to hear this, that it's not about Binyamin, but it's about Yosef himself. That tshuva that Yehuda and his brothers did was there all along, behind the story, behind the words. And Emet Hashem, hopefully this Achdus will continue on to rise and shine in our nation towards the great victory over the evil, Be'ezrat Hashem.
Amen, amen. Shkoyach tuvia, Shabbat shalom, and Besarot tova.
Shkoyach tuvia, Shabbat shalom, and Emet Hashem. We'll talk again next week.